the idea that you can generate emotions
from helping. I'm learning. I'm in no way finished.
I'd like to encourage anyone who's listening. You know, if you have a topic, if you have some suggestions for guest speakers.
They can get a lot of information, much more than I've given.
I think student audiences and audiences of young people always make.
Yeah, you guys sound good. I think it's a good idea to actually open up the air to the listeners so that they can respond and make it more of a two-way thing.
And I want to thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. We love PKS.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
A lot. Appreciate it.
And a very good afternoon. It's just a couple of minutes after 12 noon, and it is the second Thursday of the month, and that means it is time for my GM report to the listeners. And I'm Steve DiCostanzo, general manager here at independent community radio station WPKN, and it's really wonderful to have you all tuned in at 89.5, or maybe you're on the stream at WPKN.org. And I just wanted to run through a little bit of our schedule for the next hour. And first of all, I wanted just to say that I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And now we are in the busy month of December. And I'll tell you one thing, it is crazy. For, I think, all nonprofits, December is a wild month as we all try to put some money in the bank and tie up some things before the end of the year. But let me start with I'm going to tell you who our guests are going to be today. And I will start with a bit of a review of some things here at WPKN. But coming up on the show, I have Charlie Griggs, who is a board member of Gateway Classical Music Society. And he's going to be talking about an event coming up this Monday, which is part of the Gateway Bridgeport Initiative, which is going to be attempting and trying their best to bring some opera back to Fairfield County. So he'll be kicking things off in just a bit. We may or may not have Eric Gribben on the phone. We'll see. He's from the Unitarian Church in Westport, and we are a media partner of the Voices Cafe series that they do there, and we're going to have Eric on, or I will do it myself, just talk a bit about the upcoming event this Saturday night, a concert that they have as part of their Voices Cafe series. We're going to be joined on the phone also then later by Jeanette Archer Simmons, who is the executive director of the Open Door Shelter, which is based in Norwalk, Connecticut. Jerry Vigorito, who is the co-founder of Band Together, is going to join us on the telephone, and we will talk a bit about last Friday's benefit concert for WPKN and also spreadmusicnow.org called One Tribe, One Vibe. And then John Torres is going to finish things up this afternoon. He is a board member of the group Bridgeport Generation Now, and I wanted to bring that group on because they're doing some very interesting things in Bridgeport. It's a whole new generation of socially minded young residents of Bridgeport. So that is what we have coming up in the next 55 minutes or so. And I wanted to start off by, first of all, thanking all of you who came in last week as part of our Best of WPKN On Air Fun Drive. It was an interesting week. It started off fast, and then in the middle part of the week, I think it hit the wall because I'm sensing that there was an event called Giving Tuesday, where a lot of people were giving money to multiple nonprofits all over the country. It's not just a local event, but a national initiative to try to get some increase in philanthropic giving. And we were, I think, come Wednesday, we really hit the wall because I think there was a massive hangover of giving. So I was a little bit concerned, but let me tell you, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the floodgates opened here at PKN, and we actually ended our fund drive early. We raised our goal and some. We finished with about more than $15,000, and we had about $16,400 if you factor in some online support that tied back to the on-air drive. We had about nearly 200 pledges, and 33% of those pledges were from first-time pledgers, which is a great trend for us. We love that positive trend that we are always constantly trying to make some new listeners and grow our base, and that's, I think, a really a very positive trend to have. We basically decided just to pause and say we hit our goal. I think that's good for our staff, and it's good for you, the listener, because we come to you often, and I think it's when we can make our goal, we will reward you for your support of our station. And a couple other things happening around WPKN. We have a new T-shirt contest that is underway. We've been calling out to artists in in Fairfield County and New Haven County to come up with a design. Also, Suffolk County artists have been submitting as well. It's a new T-shirt design that's going to be our official PKN winter edition. And I did want to thank Liz Squalacci, who's a local artist who's been with us for a number of years now, helping with multiple T-shirts. So thank you, Liz, for all your efforts. Otherwise, coming up this month, we do have an appeal letter, which is going to drop. It's our end-of-the-year tax appeal letter that's going out to 5,000 of you. That should be probably hitting many of your mailboxes next week. We'll be doing an email version of that as well later this week. And we are also looking for a donor who might have some money to help us with for this end of the year push that we're going to be doing online. We're looking for one donor that might have a $5,000 pledge ability to help WPKN with a one-time $5,000 gift, because we have one donor already who is going to match your $5,000. And we're going to jumpstart a fundraising challenge that we're going to be doing again online starting the day after Christmas and going through New Year's Eve. So if you have the wherewithal, the ability, the interest of making a one-time gift that's going to really become a matching effort at the end of this month, please give me a call in the studio here at the business office at 203-331-9756, and I'd be happy to go through some of the details with you about what we're trying to do at the very, very end of this month. Music on film series. This past month, we did Bob Dylan's Don't Look Back, a black and white film shot in 1965. We screened that at the Bijou, and then we also did a rescreening of the Frank Zappa documentary that just came out this past summer called Eat This Question. And we did that at the Milford Arts Council, and that was the second time we've shown it. We did it at the Bijou in Bridgeport. It was such a well-received film, we decided to do it again in Milford, and thanks to Paige Miglio, who's the director of the MAC. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with our first guest here on the GM Report. Okay, back we are on the GM Report to the listeners. I'm the GM of listener-supported community radio WPKN, and I just did a recap of some of the things having to do with WPKN. I did forget to mention that our music on film selection this month is going to be the Sharon Jones documentary called Miss Sharon Jones, and that's going to be screening in downtown Bridgeport on Wednesday, December 21st. So I wanted to welcome into the studios Charlie Griggs. Charlie is a resident of Bridgeport, and he's a board member of an organization called the Gateway Classical Music Society. And I wanted to have him come in to the studios today because they have an interesting story to tell about classical music and opera music. It involves the Klein. It involves the Harborview Cafe in Bridgeport and a lot of interesting things. And I think this is Charlie's first time up in a WPKN, but we overlap with a lot of different nonprofit areas and also being residents of Black Rock. So, Charlie, welcome to WPKN.
Hey, thank you so much, Steve. I really appreciate being here. And yeah, it's also my first time ever on radio.
Yeah, let's see if we can. We're having a little trouble with that mic now. Let me just see what's going on. Why don't we switch over to this mic?
Sure.
Let's give that a go. As we make a switch over to microphone number one. There we go. Yeah, that sounds
all
much
right.
Better.
Yeah, well, thank you, Steve. This is great. Really appreciate it. It's actually my first time on radio ever, so this is kind of fun. It's
excellent.
Cool.
Yeah.
New thing in my life.
Good. Well, I got a call from some friends that said, you know, if you have a chance, you really need to talk to Charlie because he's got some very interesting ideas about trying to bring opera back to Fairfield County. And it also dovetails with a special event that is taking place, really a private dinner and a concert to support these efforts on Monday. Why don't you talk first a little bit about the Gateway Classical Music Society, and then you can dovetail right into what you're focused on with the Klein and opera.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Gateway Classical Music Society was created in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to run into the artistic director. Her name is Ida Anglin. And she, about 13, 14 years ago, was trying to find choristers from this area to perform Aida at Carnegie Hall. And I just happened to be lucky enough to meet her.
Hmm.
And at about the same time, she founded the Gateway Classical Music Society. She had worked as the assistant conductor for the New York Grand Opera and for 7 years. And those were free performances in Lincoln Park, and they're very, very successful. She had the opportunity to conduct, you know, the symphony, to conduct the choir. Mm. And when I met her, it was a terrific opportunity to sing at Carnegie Hall.
Right. So obviously you're a singer and
sing with the Mendelssohn Choir of Connecticut, a terrific organization here mm-hmm. in Fairfield. Her view and her vision was to bring major works of art to underserved areas, mm-hmm. to give opportunities for artists to perform more often, young artists, very, very talented artists, and to bring them to areas which really don't have or didn't have that access.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a terrific way to essentially open the doors to more classical music. I think the underlying theme is, you know, classical music is a terrific genre.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
A lot of people aren't really familiar with it unless they listen, you know, intently to some of the movies they happen to go to.
Sure.
I mean, there's some terrific things. And it's really promoting through these great works the real excitement that these operas can bring, mm-hmm. these works of art. But anyways, Gateway has been around a while. The most recent thing is that they were chosen by the New York Philharmonic in their New World Initiative to perform the New World Symphony. And the New World Symphony by Dvorak, believe it or not, was commissioned by the New York Philharmonic, and they are using this initiative to commemorate their 175th anniversary. Mm-hmm. So we have the pleasure to perform it. They give assistance. We did a performance not long ago in Greenwich. You know, what's terrific about Ida is she can pull the top artists from the tri-state area, former New York Philharmonic players, people mm-hmm. from orchestras throughout the Tri-County area. And it's a way of bringing a tremendous performance to this area. It's a way of bringing, really, a vision of thinking of the Klein, as an art center right. and an access sure. to all Fairfield County. I mean, I don't know about you.
The Klein is a. I mean, a lot of our listeners may not know that much about the Klein, but it really is. It's a gem, and it's quite a remarkable performance space, and it's a large space and an elegant space.
They just received $2.7 million in funding from the state. So if you remember their beautiful interior, it's only going to be that much more
right,
beautiful.
Yeah. And Lawrence has had a chance to be up here a couple of times, the director. And
so,
you know, he's...
So talking about Lawrence, I mean, Lawrence happens to be a Black Rock neighbor.
Yes.
And we happen to run into each other, and I told him that I was a board member, and I got this terrific orchestra and symphony and artistic director. And couldn't we make something happen right here at the Klein? And, you know, Lawrence's view is they used to be the, you know, the home of the Connecticut Grand Opera that unfortunately went away, you know, some 10 years ago or so, and or maybe a little less. But, you know, they performed at the Palace Theater in Stamford, and then their home was here in Bridgeport. Well, in our view, there's a great audience out there in Fairfield County that really don't have the access to these operas, these great symphonic pieces. And what's great about Ida is she concentrates on opera, which maybe the Greater Bridgeport Symphony doesn't. So we actually complement the programming that exists with the client. So Lawrence and I, you know, found kind of a match there.
And hence, this is basically the Gateway Bridgeport Initiative.
That's right. So we call it the Gateway Bridgeport Initiative. So what's coming up on the 12th? You know, the same thing. Being in Black Rock, if you don't know it, world out there, it's probably the model community that I hope, you know, will transcend to many urban areas, because we're really a melting pot of a lot of people that, you know, get to meet each other from different walks of life. I'm actually a 32-year banker that's transformed, and there are a lot of great people in this city. And I think we're all trying to do something to help the city. And I think both Michelle and Rick, you know, feel strongly that way. Of course, you know, their ambitions in the past. And I think, you know, they give us a terrific venue to come out for the first time.
So this is Monday evening. You're going to do a special dinner at the Harborview Cafe.
We're doing a dinner and a performance.
Yeah.
So the Harborview is going to be putting on the dinner. They're sponsoring the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you think of it, you're getting an absolutely terrific dinner. And, you know, the tickets, you know, this isn't a charity. The tickets are $125 apiece. But what we're looking for are people that really love opera. They want to support the Klein in Bridgeport. Mm-hmm. They want to bring back opera to Fairfield County. They can be our ambassadors to reach out to the area, to those that really love what we're trying to do, be like-minded, and help us,
right.
you know, help promote this. Now, we're going to have some really amazing talent there. And I can tell you, I would love to tell you everything about him, but Yigit Karatas is a violinist. He's played in the Presidential Symphony Orchestra in Turkey. He won first prize at the 4th National Gulden Turali Violin Competition, and second at another one, and third at another one. I mean, he's really terrific. He served as a concertmaster to a concert at Lincoln Center fairly recently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one. We have Marianne Mutus, a soprano. She's sung with the Miami Lyric Opera, the Delaware Valley Opera, the Bel Cantanini Opera, Sharon Apostolo, Asa Franklin, I mean, on and on. So we have some really terrific talent.
Well, I'm looking at the booklet that you put together for the evening. I mean, it really has... just the bios alone are two pages of the singers and the performers. So you're actually going to have wonderful live music, singing, orchestral
music,
opera.
We will.
And
we've got a little baby grand piano being delivered that morning.
Nice.
And, you know, it should be up close and personal and get to meet the artists.
Super. Well, again, we're talking with Charlie Griggs, who's involved with the the Gateway Bridgeport Initiative, which the attempt is to really bring opera music back to the Klein Memorial Auditorium, and there's a special benefit Monday, December 12th, in the Black Rock section of Connecticut at the Harborview Market, Harvey Cafe with live music. And Charlie, what is a good place for our listeners if they're interested in opera and music and supporting the arts? Where can they get more information about the event?
So what I'd like to do is be able to give the heads up to the Harborview a few days ahead of time, because we have to make sure we have enough food
for everyone.
and some wine. You know, they're more than welcome to call the station.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you my cell number. I can give you an email if that works for you. I'm a pretty simple email.
Yeah.
It's my name without a dot in the middle. So
okay.
It's Charles Griggs, and it's Griggs, Charles Griggs, at live.com or live, whichever you prefer. And maybe best to do that if you really don't want to email. You can call me. Go ahead.
Is there anything hanging off of the Gateway Classical Music Society, or is that?
That's separate? A really good question. I don't know if we put anything on our website. Okay. That might have been a mistake.
But we'll post some stuff up on our Facebook page as well.
Yeah, so, we really appreciate that.
Thank you so much. Any of you on Facebook, just go to WPKN as well. And we'll see if we can also try to get something up on our website as well. So, well, thank you, Charlie, for coming in. We could go on and on, and it's very exciting. It's wonderful that you're getting behind a cultural organization like the Klein and trying to help the city, because I think it's definitely worth helping. So, and thank you for coming into the studio. It's always, I think it makes a big difference to have you live.
It really has been my pleasure.
Good.
Thanks so much.
Thanks again. We'll be right back on WPKN. Stay tuned. And back we are on the GM Report to the listeners for the month of December. I want to thank Charlie Griggs for coming up and talking about the Gateway Bridgeport Initiative, bringing some opera back to the Klein. And I would like to welcome right now to the phone Jerry Vigorita, who's a co-founder of Band Together. And I wanted to take a couple minutes to talk with Jerry about some of the Band Together events that have taken place. Just a little bit of a recap of the year. They've done so much for so many nonprofits. And I guess more specifically, I'd like to thank Jerry and Rob and all the folks with Band Together. They did a wonderful benefit for WPKN and Spread Music Now this past Friday at the Fairfield Theater Company. It was called One Tribe, One Vibe. And Jerry, that was an incredible performance, first of all. You guys were amazing. The special guests that you brought in and the back line, people didn't want to go home that night.
Well, hi, Steve, and thank you. And, always thank you to WPKN for supporting us. And it is really an honor and a privilege to be able to support you guys. I was listening to you online, And I was just thinking about how important the message that you bring to the community. You know, we oftentimes raise funds for charities involving Alzheimer's or special needs, autism, cancer research, things like that. And then we do some things for the arts, specifically for WPKN. And when we're questioned about that, you know, supporting your radio station helps get the message of those other organizations out that wouldn't otherwise be able to hear it. You've done, you know, a tremendous amount, especially with this show, giving voice to a lot of the charities and organizations that we support. So one of the reasons we enjoy our partnership with WPKN.
And yes, I mean, it's definitely it's a two-way street. It's mutually beneficial, and I think you guys are also looking after the best interests of so many nonprofits, and you've had a great run this year. Could you remind just our listeners a bit about, you mentioned some of the groups that you've already been involved with, but what you really tend to do is donate the proceeds of these concerts that you perform on behalf of these nonprofits, correct?
Yeah, the exciting thing is, you know, just a brief history. We decided to pull together different musicians from all walks of life and produce and perform in charity concerts for different local charities, specifically in Connecticut. And this year was a banner year. It's our 10th year, and we had a run of at least 10 shows, from the Boys and Girls Club in Shelton, Connecticut, to the Pilot House, as I mentioned, Alzheimer's Association, yourselves included. And, you know, we did a number of helped raise $750,000 in just this year alone.
Oh, congratulations.
Which doubled our number from last year. And it gives us a gross total, we never knew this would happen, of over $2.5 million to local charities, including PKN.
Well, in the 10-year track record.
In the 10-year run.
Good for you.
Show,
that's great.
The first show, I think we did $2,700 or $2,800 for Habitat for Humanity, and now here we are all these years later with over 60 events. Doing these kind of numbers, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, on Friday,
and this last show we did for you, you mentioned it. We had Lucy Kaplansky join us, a great singer-songwriter, mm-hmm. and we did something that was a little bit different. We did a singer-songwriter type show, which was a little bit mellower type show than we're used to. People come see us for the Motown show or the Jackson show or our arena rock show, and we decided to do this. And you know, quite frankly, nobody left their seats all night.
Right.
And,
oh, really, no. I mean, it was sold out. I mean, I know that even when the show rolled around, I was talking to the box office. They had no tickets for walk-ups, maybe one or two tickets. It was billed as classic acoustic rock, but at the sound check, you guys were definitely plugged in. So I knew it was not going to be totally mellow and unplugged. In fact, it was anything but that. It was almost, it felt like comfort food in a way, the music. It, great song selection. And as I mentioned in a note to you guys, the musicians were just exquisite with Fuzz and Carrie from Caravan of Thieves and Lucy Kaplansky and John Torres, who ironically we're going to hear from next.
Him.
Yeah, he's coming up.
He's on the show.
He's in the bullpen right there, ready to come on.
The thing that we do backstage, and you've been there with us, is, you know, we call it the Spirit Circle. It's a non-denominational, but what we do is basically the one vibe, one tribe, one vibe is, you know, we let down our egos. We come out, we know it's a one-off show, and that we're all going to put the best we have out on the table. And that's the response we get not only from the artist, but also for the audience. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't know anybody in the country that is doing what we're doing here in Connecticut, certainly with your help. But, you know, hey, charity concerts are not a new thing, but the regularity in which we perform these and the diversity of the performers is pretty unique.
Yeah, well, we just wanted to thank you again, and also just remind listeners that there was a compelling reason that we wanted to even have band together do a radio show on our station because of the overlap in mission, you know, and I think what you do is you're like an extension of PKN by bringing your own group of nonprofits onto your show and other local musicians. So it's really a win-win, I think, for you and the listener and WPKN.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Band Together Radio, and thank you for that opportunity, because Andy Cadison and I do an hour-long program, which is very much like the Band Together organization, which is some talk, some fun music, and it's also an outreach to some of our beneficiaries. So again, you know, we owe WPKN our own gratitude.
Yeah,
you guys have really helped us for a long time.
Well,
we certainly do appreciate it.
Yeah, you have been. You've been, for the last 10 years, you've been on a lot of our shows, different programmers, and I have to give a shout out to Andy Cadison, because he's a natural on stage, isn't he? He just he was good.
Andy wrote a our volunteer synopsis. We send out emails. What could we do better? What did we do right? What did we do wrong? And Andy had sent out a synopsis that this particular show that we put on starts 6 months ago, and the amount of meetings and this and that that goes on to just put that one show on Friday night, and if you multiply that times the 10 that we do, you probably can understand what we do in our free time. You know, we spend an awful lot of time putting these shows together and arranging them. Because as soon as we stop the first show, or the one is complete, we raise our hands, we have fun, we experience some joy, and we're right on to moving to the next. Because the beginning of 2017, we start up with the Sterling House over at the Cabaret Theater. We're doing our arena rock show there. And then for Pink Aid in February, we're doing our British Invasion show at Fairfield Theater. So we're already booked out for 2017. So it's pretty exciting that this thing continues to go on.
Well, that's great. Thanks again for the update. Jerry Vigorito, co-founder of Band Together. And thank you for joining us on the GM Report. And we will see you at some point soon here in the studios.
I'll see you tonight, Steve.
Okay,
Christmas
good.
Christmas party.
That's right. Take care,
good
Jerry.
Night.
Thanks.
Bye.
And it's, again, nice to talk with those guys. They really are very altruistic with what they do. Let me also talk about another venue and a season of music that we are getting a little bit more involved with officially with this the Voices Cafe series of singer-songwriter music at the Unitarian Church, which is in Westport, Connecticut. They have a concert coming up on December 10th with Stacy Phillips and Paul Howard. Every month they're going to be doing shows. February 18th they have Abby Gardner. March 11th, Goodnight Moonshine. And April 8th in the Round, and then Susan Werner in May. You'll be seeing more information via WPKN's website and also our Facebook page, as we are a media partner for the Unitarian Church in Westport. And the Voices Cafe is, again, the Unitarian Church is at 10 Lions Plains Road in Westport. And if you want to get some more information, you can always go to voicescafe.org, and you can bring some of your own liquid refreshments, and you can bring some food and appetizers as well. That's the way it works. It's kind of a potluck event. And I think you'll enjoy Stacy Phillips and Paul Howard again this Saturday, December 10th at 8 p.m. Doors open at 7:30. Stacy's an acoustic slide player. And has done some nice work, earned him some Grammys. And Paul is Paul Howard is a rhythm guitarist who's also performed a lot of with a lot of different artists. So that is the Voices Cafe, and you can get their season schedule for 2016-2017 at the Unitarian Church website. We're going to take a quick musical break, and I will be back with the executive director of a very fine nonprofit called the Open Door Shelter in Norwalk. So do stay tuned to WPKN. Dan Beck. We are on the GM Report to the listeners for the month of December. I'm Steve DiCostanzo, the general manager here at your favorite independent community radio station at 89.5 FM and streaming at WPKN.org. I always like to take opportunity during my GM report to talk with some fantastically well-run nonprofit organizations, and I wanted to welcome Jeanette Archer-Simons, who is the executive director of the Open Door Shelter in Norwalk, to WPKN. And how are you doing? Are you there?
Doing great. Doing great. Thank We're you, happy Jeanette. To be on with you this morning.
Well, it's and thank you for taking some time. This is, I think for me anyways, having lived for many, many years in New York City, as with the onset of cold weather, I always would think about the people I would see, the homeless, the people that had difficulty getting a regular shelter. So one thing led to another that I heard about your fine facility in Norwalk, the Open Door Shelter, and I wanted to invite you to come on and talk a little bit about your specific operation and a bit about some of the activities and what your mission is down for the Open Door.
Well, so, thank you. We worry about folks on the street every day of the year, but when it does get cold like this and some of the cold weather that's coming next week even, we worry even more about anyone who doesn't have shelter. So our first message is, if you're hungry or you need shelter, please reach out to us. Call 211, call the shelter, stop by, and we're going to try and find help for you. Even if we can't make space here, we will find space for you somewhere. So that's what's important.
Sure.
And we do have 95 beds here, so we do have space for men, women, and families. And we have almost 20 children in our shelter right now with eight families. So for those folks that don't think children are on the streets, there are once a week we probably get a call about a family living in their car and take those folks in to make sure that those children are safe.
Yeah. Now, are you full?
We're about 85% of capacity. We also have the ability in the winter to put some mats down, so we have a 20-person overflow, and that overflow is not yet full. And part of that is because it's not been so cold yet.
Right.
But the more cold it gets, the more we're seeing an influx.
Sure.
And it's also tougher because this time of year people have a harder time paying bills because heat bills go up, and so sometimes that can be the tipping point that drives them to not being able to pay their rent or not being able to keep their heat on, and then they end up in shelter as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know that we're specifically wanted to talk about the Open Door Shelter, but I just wonder for listeners, maybe if you wanted to speak more you know, expansively about some of the services in general in, let's say, Fairfield and New Haven County. Are we underserved? Are we, I mean, of course, we're probably always underserved to some extent, but what is the current state of, let's say, shelters in general?
Well, and the good news is the shelters are working together to try and do their best to maximize services, but most of the shelters are close to capacity at all times. And as much as we'd like to move people into housing as quickly as possible, it's difficult in some cases, when you're starting from scratch. On average, in Fairfield County, there's 800 people, 700 to 800 people who are homeless on any given night, just in Fairfield County. And I think that number jumps to about 1,200 in New Haven County. With us, we're also looking very closely at things like family homelessness, which seems to be a little bit on the rise. There's 250 family members that are homeless on any given night in Fairfield County, and it's kind of a shocking number, and those folks need to be in shelter and getting back on track as quickly as possible. So the capacity isn't there to address all of the homelessness in the region, but the good news is that the shelters that are in place are doing their very best to connect people with resources and get them back into stable environments and make sure that they're fed and they're finding income sources and they're getting jobs and getting back on their feet.
Roughly how many shelters are there in Fairfield County, would you say?
There's probably about, there's half dozen. There's probably half dozen formal shelters, and then there's some informal shelters that spring up because of faith organizations who open their doors. And then, of course, there's domestic violence shelters on top of that. Mm-hmm. So we're one of the few shelters in the region that serves families. And so there's probably limited space for families. There's more shelter for men and individual women.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know. So it's kind of a family oriented shelter. That's good for our listeners to perhaps understand that slight difference. One of the other questions I had has to do with just the basic overall funding with cutbacks in state budgets and local budgets. What I liked on your webpage is that short of just contributing money, which, of course, as a nonprofit ourselves, money is always good. But you have a page that talks all about different ways that people might barter support by providing activities, et cetera.
And, absolutely.
And maybe you could talk a bit about some of the needs that you might have, because sometimes it might be, we do the same thing. We ask our listeners sometimes for items. And it's amazing how often they come through. So maybe you could ask our listeners, and we may have listeners that would love to help the Open Door shelter down in Norwalk with some different physical things that you might need.
And absolutely, because beyond sheltering, I mean, we serve we have 27,000 bed nights that we're sheltering people, but we also feed about 1,300 people in the community. So food is always welcome. So mm-hmm. if people want to do a little can drive or have people bring a food item to their holiday meal, everything from rice and beans to pancake mix to mac and cheese and pasta, mm-hmm. Those add up. And it's a little way for people to sort of appreciate what they have, but make a big difference for those who are hungry. So we're feeding people out of our food pantry on an ongoing basis, and that's always helpful. But blankets, hats, and mittens. Yesterday we received a wonderful gift of jackets. We take gently use clothing and coats and redistribute those all to the community. So it's not just the shelter residents, mm-hmm. but it's folks living in poverty in the community that might need winter clothing. It can also be things like diapers or incontinence items that are needed for those people who have health issues.
Mm-hmm,
and
sure.
Sometimes people don't hear about those sorts of needs.
Mm-hmm.
Socks. You can get creative. We have a little group that's doing pajamas for the children for the holidays. And when you have children that are all ages that are growing really fast, it's great to have new pajamas because they outgrow them very quickly. So it really is thinking creatively about the things that might be helpful, toiletry products as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look at our website or send us an email at info@opendoorshelter.org. And we're happy to see if we can find a creative way that people can help.
Great. Again, we're talking with Jeanette Archer-Simons, who's the executive director of Open Door Shelter in Norwalk, and we're talking about a donation of goods and services. Now, how about volunteering? Do you have any particular type of volunteers that you might be looking for that maybe some of our listeners would be interested in getting more involved with your operations?
We have volunteers of all types. You can serve a meal, or you can help in our after-school program, which helps kids with their homework after school. We also have groups that come in and they'll do painting or they'll do repairs on the building. And so we set up projects where they maybe are painting one of the dorms or hanging curtains or doing some other repair in the building. We have folks that will come in and decorate for the holidays. In addition to that, if somebody wants to help out with data entry or some sort of clerical support, we always have projects. So English as a second language classes, as well as how to use a computer, are also welcomed by our clients. So, let us know.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I thank you for laying out all the different areas that people can get involved with, because this is what we like to do as a community radio station, is really almost act as the village green, where there's a good exchange of information about nonprofits and then those who are socially and civically minded. And I'm sure there's someone listening right now that hopefully will give you a ring or send you an email and say that they were moved by some of the things that Open Door Shelter is doing in Norwalk. So I wanted to thank you for coming on, Jeanette, on WPKN, and have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you. And we are going to come right back with John Torres, who's going to talk a bit about the Bridgeport Generation Now. You may be hearing about it for the first time. We're going to take a quick music break, and we will be back very soon. Just got about 5 minutes to go for the GM report, and I did want to make sure I get a chance to talk with John Torres, who is a board member and also in charge of one of the, I guess, what do you call it, the Action Committee?
Well, there's an Action Council. I'm the
Action
Vice
Council,
President.
Vice
there's
President of the Action Council, good. Of the Bridgeport Generation Now. It's a group that, if you're on Facebook and you live anywhere near Bridgeport, you've probably seen a lot of interesting posts, and it seems like they're doing some really interesting things. So I wanted to welcome John into the studio, this time without his guitar.
Yeah.
But he did help us with his guitar on Friday. We just had Jerry on from Band Together. That was a great event. Thank you for helping out with that. But
of course,
we're going to talk a little bit about the Bridgeport Generation Now. Where do you want to start? How did that all get together? Because it seems like this... first of all, I always talk about Bridgeport as having an amazing group of young creatives. Mm-hmm. And I think it just must have sprung from the tremendous movement of younger, talented people into Bridgeport.
Absolutely. And it sprung out. It was kind of an organic thing that came out of, I won't necessarily say the last election, but I think just realizing that there was a need, a deficit there in the city that that could be filled by a group like that. Not to say, though, that this is primarily a young person's group. We're absolutely multi-generational.
Sure.
We're extremely diverse in that way. And we're hoping to become even more diverse and ensure that we're, representing the entire city. And but yeah, I mean, Callie Heilman, who's a Black Rock resident, kind of had the brainchild for this. Mm-hmm. And it's based on something called San Bernardino Generation Now, which out there has been extremely successful.
Out in California?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we reached out to them, and they've been, giving us support. And, we wanted to start something similar to that here, because obviously Bridgeport needed it. But it's a grassroots social action network. We're dedicated to...
Yeah, I like that term, by the way. Social action network.
Right.
Yeah, cool.
We're... dedicated to boosting civic engagement and knowledge of our city structure and city government. Because I think what ends up happening is the city stays the same because there's a deficit of civic engagement and, frankly, knowledge of how the city works and potentially how it could be better. So one of our big purposes is to educate the population. One event in particular, beyond just our weekly meetings, which happen at, monthly meetings, which happen the third Wednesday of the month at the Beehive, Bridgeport, at 7 p.m. Beyond that, we're also hosting things like what we're calling Civics 101, which is it's happening on March 11th and 12th of 2017. And it's sort of a crash course in Bridgeport,
mm-hmm.
Especially for people that are thinking of running for city government in the upcoming, the next year's elections.
Right.
But it's also something for just general knowledge of Bridgeport. If you're interested in knowing more about your city, we're going to have, it's a bipartisan, or I should say nonpartisan,
mm-hmm.
group of people, David Walker, Kate Rivera, so people on all ends of the political spectrum and with different knowledge bases that are going to be sort of doing these breakout sessions and workshops. And I think it's going to be a really fun event, and in addition to being informative. But sort of things like that are what we're trying to do.
And you're doing these meetings at the Beehive.
Correct.
So I think a lot of our listeners don't know that much about the Beehive. I walk by it when I go to the Bijou, or I'm in Bijou Square, but it's an interesting working model that has sprung up in other cities too. But that seems to be the epicenter of a lot of this the activities, right?
It's been a great asset for us.
Is it a place where people can just go in and do like fractional workspace or something?
Yeah, it's essentially a co-working space that you can rent for the month on a monthly basis, and you're able to use its services. It's essentially an alternative for people that work from home.
Right. So when you have your meetings, what kind of attendance do you get, and what's the cross section? Who are some of the all different industries represented and skill sets, and
We are really truly diverse in pretty much every meaning of the word. We've got people from all kinds of different backgrounds, people that are community organizers, people that are business people that are artists and musicians, such as myself, Liz Kwalachi,
who's a good friend of ours.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, Callie's
great.
Callie's been a longtime supporter, so
right. Thanks. And so we have people that are scions of the Bridgeport business scene, young professionals, older people that have a lot of wisdom and knowledge and longevity here in Bridgeport. We've had great attendance. Our first meeting had to have 125
That's
people.
Awesome.
It was packed. And, our last meeting was also very well attended. So,
well, there's a very active Facebook page, right? So it's...
It's / BPT... Gen Now.
Yeah, BPT Gen Now. So get involved if you are interested in all things to do with Bridgeport, or just cities in general. If you live in other cities, it's who knows, it may spring up in other areas of our WPKN signal. But I really think it's great to bring together the creative classes and the young kind of millennials and 20 and 30 somethings and the 40 somethings, and I guess even I'm included in that mix. So somewhere I like your mission statement. I'm just going to read it just quickly, the first sentence anyways, to give a sense of Bridgeport Generation Now. It is strives to empower and unite our communities through civic engagement, policy work, economic development, and education. And I think it's wonderful that there's this movement here in Bridgeport. And John, thanks for coming in and talking a bit about it.
You're welcome.
And I will try to make the meetings, but I have to talk about, we have to figure something out, because our Music on Film series is the third Wednesday of every month. So either we're going to change, or we'll have to figure out, because I need to sort that out, because you guys are like two doors down and we're doing our film. So,
well, can I just plug the website as well?
Sure.
Just for
absolutely.
People to sign up. It's bptgennow.org. That's bptgennow.org. And you can sign up to become a member. You can find out more about us. And then, of course, the Facebook page, which is the same exact letters, just the / and you can stay up to date with what's going on with us.
Great. Good. Well, thanks for coming into the studio, John Torres, Bridgeport Generation Now. This will be podcast later today. So thanks for tuning in. And everyone have a wonderful month, and have a great, great holiday as well. Coming up next will be Joseph Celli at 1 o'clock.
Programming support comes from Toad's Place, presenting the Marion Meadows Annual Jazz Christmas Show on Friday, December 16th. Gold Circle seating and advance sales are available online. Toad's Place is located at 300 York Street in New Haven and features smooth jazz with Ron Lawrence every Monday night. More information and tickets at toadsplace.com. I feel
good. Join me for My Other Music, and hopefully I'll lift your spirits, and by the end of the show that you'll be dancing around your house or your workplace. But please, no dancing while you're driving on the interstate. Here's something new and stimulating, free-ranging music including Zydeco Minimalism, Maximalism, No Wave, Next Wave, Avant-Garde, and Cutting Edge Jazz. You can hear My Other Music with your host Joseph Celli on the 2nd and 4th Mondays at 9 a.m. and the 2nd and 4th Thursday afternoons at 1 p.m. on WPKN.
This is Peggy Nelson, co-host with Richard Feniger of WPKN's weekly arts and culture show called State of the Arts. Join us every Friday at noon to hear our conversations with area cultural organizations, theaters, actors and actresses, and other leading voices from the world of the arts, here at 89.5 FM and streaming at WPKN.org.
Established in 1994, the Danbury Railway Museum educates the public about the history of railroading and the role the railroads played in a part of our local and national heritage. The museum contains historic equipment and artifacts, exhibits, and operating model railroad layouts. More information on the Danbury Railway Museum is available at www.danbury.org/DRM or at 203-778-8337.
Does your family love nature and the outdoors? Located just off Central Avenue in Scarsdale, Greenberg Nature Center offers 33 acres of open land with woodland trails, indoor and outdoor exhibits, and over 100 rescued and rehabilitated animals. The center provides environmental education for groups of all ages and hosts